Friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, we are cheerful givers. Now, once more, I want to read from you one of our lessons in Scripture that was given for us today. This is St. Paul talking to brand new Christians a long time ago over in Corinth, Greece. And he says this about our lives together. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, this passage kicked us off last week. We're in the midst of a three-part emphasis on being cheerful givers. We call it stewardship, we call it managing. We talk about vocations. We talk about generosity. Now, for a lot of us that maybe grew up in a church, we've heard this kind of time-old saying, these three words: time, treasure, and talents, right? On the things that God gives us that we want to share with others. Now, we're going to do that in a different way. Last week, we were here. We talked about how we have a gift of faith. It's something that we don't create. It's what God gives us. And it is one of the things that we are called to take care of. How our faith can be as simple as remembering to maybe give yourself a pat on the back whenever you say a morning prayer. When you maybe gather around friends or family and have a meal prayer, you are building up your faith little by little. It's important to share those moments. Or maybe it's at evening when you pray for all the things that happen throughout the day. That was faith. Today, another word: family. We all have them in various shapes and sizes. Most of us like them, but we all have them. How does God call us to take care of those special people? Well, first of all, we remember, as Paul tells us, these are one of the things that we can still be cheerful about, right? Just because God gave you maybe a mom or dad or a brother or sister doesn't mean that we have to just love them only because we have to. We get to, because they are the people that God planned just for purpose. And it's also significant today, as we talk about families, that Jesus modeled that pretty well. We just heard today in our message from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. This is in the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, where he's out healing anybody and everybody. And maybe he's being careful about it because he doesn't want everybody to know just who he is quite yet, because it's not his time. But he's healing people. That's part of his mission when he came to seek and save the lost. But not just anybody, somebody's loved one. Peter, good old Peter. He's the outrageous one of the 12 disciples. He's the brash one. He's the one that will be the first to run into a burning house. And Peter and the disciples immediately told Jesus about her when she's sick with a fever. We don't know what kind of fever it is. It could be bad. She could be dying for all we know. And they know the first thing to do, to talk to Jesus about it. So he comes over, takes her by the hand. We don't know her name. One of the many people in the Bible that we know people, they don't have names. That's not the important part. Takes her by the hand, lifts her up, and the fever leaves her. And again, immediately back to better than ever. But what's also interesting is, you might have missed this. Right after that, she began to serve them. It seems kind of weird. You just got done being healed of probably a terrible illness. What's the first thing you do? Some of us would be just like happy, outrageous, like jumping for joy. Maybe we go and run and tell somebody. This lady starts working in the kitchen. Now, this is not a model for men to say that's where women belong. By any means, no way, Jose. But this is what is part of her vocation, that she felt generous and how she could be a cheerful giver. In her own family, this was her normal way of life, to take care. And so she returns back to God what God just did for her, giving of himself. This is a model slightly for us today in all the various ways that God has equipped us to be. Some of us are sons or daughters. Some of us have brothers or sisters. Some of us have spouses. These are special things that God has given you in life. They didn't just happen by mere chance or maybe good looks. They are people that God planned for you to have in your life. For some of us, we get to have them for a long time. For some of us, we only get them for a short time. But we thank God for all those times. So, as a way of remembering that today, as last week, we did something kind of fun. We wanted to give thanks for the already ways that you are doing just this, serving, taking care of, stewarding your family with these little boxes. Now, these are included in your bulletin for worship. If you haven't gotten one, let me know. Think of the different ways in which your interactions with family are something to be proud of. On one of the sides here, we talk about faith. We could put a little coin in, maybe a quarter or a dollar or a penny. If you're saving your quarters for the laundromat, save them for the laundromat, but do something else. Put a little IOU maybe as a reminder in your head to thank God for the faith he has given you when you pray. Today, our family are the same things that we can do that for. Put a little something in when you talk with a family member. Get this, for 30 minutes or more. How many of you might think that might be kind of hard? When do we ever get like a 30-minute chunk of time just with family? Back in the day, people used to just have dinner together. Some of us still do. Some of us maybe spend 2 hours in front of a TV watching Netflix or a sporting event. That's a different thing altogether. We talk about uninterrupted family time. That's what we're talking here, 30 minutes. When's the last time we did that? I found out recently there was a Barna research poll made 2 years ago already that out of all Americans polled, 53% of all Americans said that they rarely have meaningful time together with their families. Over half of us. That might be you. Now, if we keep doing that over and over, how does that affect us? In a maybe disastrous world in our life, it maybe starts to feel lonely. We need our families. They're the people that we can run to when life gets crazy. So today, think about how God has blessed you and thank God for those moments and people in your life, even the people that maybe are difficult. They're there on purpose. But remember our families today. Now, I'm not going to just tell you that and to figure it out on your own. I'm going to do it with a little bit of scripture today. Now, for me, in my neck of the woods, in my station of life, I am getting ready to get married. And also at the same time, I'm counseling another couple that are going to get married this summer. So it's kind of fun. As a pastor, I get to tell people what to do even though I haven't done it yet. Seems a little weird. But I can do that because we have the Word of God. Now, as I was going through helping this other couple and even thinking about what I wanted for Bible readings in our church ceremony when I got married, I started looking at all the options because I, as a pastor, there's a lot of Bible verses that might be good. I want to put them all in. Can't do that. My fiance keeps me in line. Thank you. So one of them, we're not going to use it, but I thought it was good. It helps us out understanding families. Sometimes we hear it in weddings. Ephesians chapter 5. Whoa. This is the one that you sometimes hear about the word submit. Uh-oh. A lot of people don't like that word. So let me read this for you. It talks about not just couples, but families. This is St. Paul talking to, again, new Christians in Ephesus, way over in Turkey. He says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the first thing he says. What does that mean? Well, he's not talking just to men. He's not talking to women. He's not talking to kids. He's talking about all of us. submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, when we hear that word submit, we think about all the social justice things where people are like pushing others down. But it's actually the other direction. When we submit to something like an authority figure, it's us staying where we are, but willing to look up, promoting somebody. We do that with Christ, Paul says. We lift our hands in worship. We sing his praises. We look to him because he is the ultimate authority. God says that we can do that with one another. Lives, but submit to somebody else today. Make somebody else more important than yourself. Because when you do that, that's when love grows. That's the model for marriage, but also for boyfriends, girlfriends, families. And then he continues, wives, do the same thing with your husbands. As be the same for the Lord. This is a good thing because this is the model we have, because in a way, the husband is supposed to act like Jesus. Now, flash forward next week, guys. I'm going to give you a little heads up. Next week's Valentine's Day. Don't forget it. Maybe get a card or something today so you don't. Maybe wives do the same thing. The husband actually has a greater role, responsibility, that he has a greater potential to mess up. You're supposed to be the image of Jesus for the people in your life. Same thing. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Are you willing to do that, guys? Are you willing to be like Jesus for your wife? Give up everything you have. Your ice fishing equipment, your time watching the football game. Give up everything you have for that special person that God has put in your life. That's what Jesus would do for you. And then finally, he clarifies this mystery that each one of you would love your wife as himself, and also wives, see that you respect your husband. Not submit, but honor them as you would with God. These are great models for not just marriage, but for life together. Now, get this. We might not be ready for the whole marriage and love talk, so if you're not, get this. He continues, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We don't like that word obey, especially when we're kids. We want to just run like crazy. We want to fight authority. But that's what God wants. Honor your father and mother, he says. This is the first commandment with a promise. We think about all the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. You shall remember the Sabbath day. When we get to number four, when we honor our parents, our families, it comes with a promise for you that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. When we do that, we are doing just what God has designed for us. And it's easy. It can be. And it starts with taking a little bit of time. So if you're here today, worship is an hour or less, I would say. Guess what? You're doing 30 minutes of special family time together. Moms and dads, when you bring your kids here to worship, you're teaching them to them look to you as an example. Because one day they're maybe dads and maybe act a little bit like you. And this is how we live together. And this is how we become cheerful givers. Not just of our money or our time or our talents. Thank you for all those. But remember your family, because they are the way God has placed you in. And guess what? Jesus had a family too. We call ourselves the family of Christ, but Jesus was born with a family of Mary and Joseph. Remember way back in Christmas, we celebrated that? Jesus is God, but God decided to give him Mary and Joseph as a model. And because Jesus was risen his whole life with an earthly mom and dad, that means that Jesus didn't just redeem your body or mind or soul on the cross. Jesus redeems your family. On Easter, we give thanks because our families are now renewed with this same promise. So let's be cheerful with our families today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for our families and for the many different ways that you help us through them. We ask that you would encourage us and equip us so that we can help each other be good family members, whether moms or dads, husbands or wives, brothers or sisters. For we are all in your one holy family, the church.